The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those on the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Shine so bright, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
I don't have my helper on this side, so I had to do everything myself this morning. So I want to know, I have a question for anybody. Does anybody in here love musicals? Okay, quite a few of you. Okay, that's more than I expected, you know, because, you know, musicals, you know, we have some today, but my generation, that we kind of grew up on musicals. And in fact, when I was in high school, I was actually into musicals. We would do a musical every year. So I was in Hello, Dolly! And Brigadoon. It was fun because you get to wear all these costumes, and I was never a lead in any of them, but I was in the chorus, so I was in it, so that was, I counted that. Now, there's a musical that years ago, back in 1975, many of you were not born then, some of you may have just been born then, was A Chorus Line. It wasn't my favorite musical by any sense, but it had a song in it that I absolutely loved, and it was called What I Did for Love. And it was kind of the emotional, it was the pinnacle of the musical. And in the context of What I Did for Love, is this dancer who puts everything in creative sacrifice and resilience and a profound passion, even though it might not end very well. But everything is like giving it their all for love. And I was thinking about this. I don't know why these random thoughts pop into my head during the week, but they do. And I thought I'd share them with you, because you know you need to hear my random thoughts, right? So I was thinking about what of our gospel reading today. And I said, what if we, instead of what I did for love, what if we changed that around and said what I did for faith, our faith in God, with creative sacrifice, resilience, and passion. See, our story in this morning's gospel in Matthew is a familiar story of yet another miracle of Jesus that involves the disciples and what they are willing to do for their faith. A life of faith is inherently a life of risk, if you haven't figured that out by now. If you're unwilling to take a chance, you can never discover what living by faith is all about. If you're the kind of person that you got to have all the answers before you make a decision, or if you're afraid to take a step unless you know things are going to work out to your advantage, then sometimes faith can be always be a mystery to you. Our gospel reading is an example of living by faith, even in the reality of having doubts, because we all have doubts in our faith at times. The setting of the gospel story is very simple. Jesus is on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It is late in the day, and Jesus has just performed the great miracle that we talked about of feeding 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what we heard last week. And after feeding this feeding miracle, the people, we didn't read this, but they want to make Jesus king. Because, you know, you want to keep somebody with you that can feed you with only, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And he knew that their faith in him was shallow. So he refused them and instead goes up to the top of the mountain to pray. While he dismisses the crowd, this is where we come in our gospel reading, he sends the disciples ahead to the other side of the sea, telling them that he would meet them later. Now, I have to pause at this point. It's like, what, you know, Jesus, you know, they're going in the boat. They probably don't have multiple boats. He's going to meet them later. How is he going to get to them? But that's another story. So the disciples are probably thinking, okay, he's going to meet us later. So as the disciples begin to sail across the Sea of Galilee, an enormous storm blows up, a lot of wind, maybe some rain. You know, usually when there's wind, there's rain. From the way the gospel writers and other gospel writers tell this story, the storm began around, as it gets dark, around 8 o'clock in the evening. And it continues all night long. And after about 8 or 9 exhausting hours, stuck in the middle of the sea, probably just tired to the bone, they can't get to shore, they can't make any headway. This is where we pick up the story in Matthew in verse 25. And early in the morning, he, meaning Jesus, came out to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." Now, it's hard to miss the miracle here, right? I'm pretty good at treading water. In fact, when you put me in deep water, I just kind of float. I won't tell you what my husband calls me. Yeah, when he gets in deep water, he sinks. I float. I don't even have to tread water. But walking on water, on the top of water, that's a whole different level of capability that I don't have. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And not every day you see somebody coming, walking to you on a midnight stroll across the sea in the middle of a storm, right? You can understand their fear, can't you? They've been rowing and rowing and getting nowhere. They can't seem to make it to shore, and it's probably around 4:30 in the morning before the sun has even come up. And they are dead tired. They're exhausted. They are grumpy, hungry, frustrated, you name it. They are it, because they are not getting anywhere. But Jesus immediately said to them from outside the boat on the water, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." We must not miss the choice of words that Jesus uses in this phrase. When he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," he used an expression that the disciples would immediately understand. The phrase is, "It is I," is a kind of the Greek version of God saying in the Hebrew scriptures in Exodus that his name is I Am. Jesus links himself with the God of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the miraculously delivered people again and again out of their trials. It is not just Jesus saying, "Hey, don't worry, it's me, I'm not a ghost, you know, woo," you know, he's not doing that. It's Jesus saying, "I am Lord God of the universe. I have created the winds and the waves. I sent the storm." And it is the Lord himself who tells Peter to come to him on the water. And here's where this story becomes interesting, at least for me. because I love Peter. Peter is my man. Of all Jesus' apostles and disciples, I really relate to Peter because he's impetuous. He's spontaneous, and he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. That would be me, you know? And he says, you know, it wouldn't be the first thing that would come to my mind, but he says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Okay, Peter, all right. And Jesus says, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Once Peter was fully on the water, he turns and walks towards Jesus, and Jesus walks toward Peter. Everything goes fine until Peter notices all the storm and the wind around him. I had this problem too. You know, anybody relate with ADD? It's kind of like mountains. You know you've done it, okay? Yeah. Yeah, we get distracted by things, don't we? Well, Peter was distracted. During all this commotion, the wind is still coming down. Really, it's really blowing really hard. And the fishing boat is bobbing behind him and rolling in waves. And Matthew tells us this. When Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. Not before when he asked Jesus to come walk on the water, no. When he noticed the wind, he became frightened. But the wind had been there all along. Jesus comes to us in the midst of our storms. According to verse 32, the wind does not die down until Jesus and Peter get back in the boat. We can all get distracted, can't we? Especially when the storms of life rage around us. It's not easy to keep our eyes on Jesus in the middle of the night when the storm is raging and fear threatens to overwhelm you. This text reminds us that not only does Jesus control the storm, he reveals himself in the midst of the storm. Very often, our purest version of Jesus comes when the storms of life threaten to capsize our tiny boat of faith. Life has always a way of turning on a dime, doesn't it? We all know that. We've all had it happen in our lives. The wind always blows around us. The mighty storm comes sooner or later. We have no choice or control over those storms in our lives sometimes. Today, it's beautiful and sunny. Tomorrow, monsoons could be here. Things could happen. Toil, rain, toss us about with adversity. What happened to Peter in the boat can happen to any of us. For a brief moment, Peter forgets about Jesus and remembers who he actually is. He is Peter, a simple Galilean fisherman who belongs back in that boat. And the instant he looks down at his feet and sees nothing but water underneath him, he is reminded by a quick conclusion. I'm not supposed to be walking on water. This is impossible. When he's lost his concentration on Jesus, he begins to sink. And he goes down into the water. He prays one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. Lord, save me. Because like when you're sinking, you don't have time for long prayers. Or you're going to be dead because you're drowning, right? Lord, save me. And what the scripture says, that immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. And his words to Peter are so very important. You of little faith, why did you doubt? This verse ends with this scripture. When they got into the boat, Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased. And on the boat, they worshiped him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. I have some observations, though, about Peter. Even though he doubted in the end, Peter is the only one of the disciples on that boat that day that had enough faith to walk on water. Only Peter took a risk, a leap of faith, to get out of that boat because he did, he was the only one of the disciples that experienced the power and the miracle of God by walking on water. When Jesus called Peter you of little faith, he was not rebuking Peter for attempting too much, but for trusting too little. Jesus has not only told Peter to come, to get out of the boat, but for all of us, to take risks and trust God, and you will be amazed by the outcome. You might even experience some miracles in your own life. I don't know about you, but I want to live fully invested into Jesus and his kingdom, doing everything I can do to advance God's cause in this world, taking risks and on the basis of God's principles. I want to be able to tell people about what I did for my faith in God, even in the midst of my doubts and my failures, which I know are many. In the end of our gospel story, who looks better? Peter, who tried and sank, or the other disciples who stayed on the boat and didn't even try? They played it safe. Only Peter took the risk for his faith. When we live by faith, as Paul challenges us in the reading from Romans, it's possible that you might sink. You might have to tread water for a while even. But it's also possible that you will experience the power and miracles of God in your life. What will you say if somebody asks you, "What did you do for your faith?" Something worth all of us to think about. Amen.